We are excited to continue with the series that we've been in. You know, the theme this year, we've been talking about devoted. What does it look like to live devoted lives to the Lord? In response to what God has done in our lives, how do we live devoted to Him? How do we serve Him? How do we do it? And not just one area of our life, but if we're going to be devoted, we ought to be devoted in all the areas of our lives. And this morning, we're going to talk about this idea of what does it look like to have devoted homes? For our home to be a place that's devoted to the Lord. Now, Amber and I are going to be completely honest. We are not perfect parents.
Oh my goodness, no, we're not. Okay. In case you guys didn't know.
Okay, we're not perfect parents. And I will be honest as well. Just like when I talk about marriage, I get up here when I got to preach marriage with my wife sitting on the front row. How awkward is that?
I know, I should be a part of that.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do that next time.
Okay. Next time.
Okay. But, you know, it's like awkward for me, and so I feel a little insecure, but I have to realize, okay, we're all in this together. Let's all come under the authority of the Word of God and try and get better. In the same way, Amber and I are not the experts when it comes to parenting. Just ask our children, okay? But we're coming up this morning because we're going to talk about what is God calling us to? What's He inviting us to? And then how can all of us pursue that at a greater level? If we're going to be devoted, then we need to have homes that are actually devoted to the Lord. And I pray that He speaks to us today. And so open your hearts. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning of verse number 4. We're going to look at just a few verses together. And if you would you stand with me across the room? If you don't know where Deuteronomy is, it's the fifth book of the Bible. So start at the beginning, just start turning, okay? And if you are a guest here, just know we stand. This is our tradition as a church, just to say, God, we honor Your word. I'm going to read about five verses here from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starts in verse number 4, says this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You have invited us not just to have our personal faith, but God, You've invited us to have homes that are devoted to the Lord. This is Your model. The family was Your decision. This was Your idea. And so God, I pray today that You would help us, every one of us, no matter where we're at. God, would You help us to see the things You're wanting us to see, God, and then walk out of these doors and put it into practice, Father, that we wouldn't just be hearers, but we'd be doers of Your word today. God, transform us, we pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Well, how many of you, if you are married, I'm going to ask this question. How many of you can remember the first fight you had with your spouse? Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, a couple of you can. A few of you can. Just a couple of you.
Not many. Those
who have their hands raised are laughing because you vividly remember those fights. Okay, my guess is we probably fought when we dated, I would guess.
Because we
had a rather tumultuous, we broke up several times.
I was like, we fought. He broke up with me 3 times to be exact, but that's not what we're talking about.
That wasn't in the notes, but no.
Yeah, Greg's like, here are notes, but do what you want. And I'm like, okay, I will. I'll do what I want.
No, but so we did, yes, we fought plenty during our dating relationship, but we vividly remember the first fight of our marriage.
Well, Greg vividly remembers this fight, and Greg doesn't vividly remember anything.
I don't.
Just so y'all know. So it's funny to me that he remembers every detail of this fight. Like, clearly it impacted him more than it impacted me. But we went to the grocery store. We thought, like, that will be so
very first
fun.
Time.
As a married couple, let's go grocery shopping. That was a very, very bad idea because it wasn't just Amber and Greg. It was Amber and her mom, you know, like all the things my mom taught me, and Greg and his mom and all the things she taught him. And she did not teach him the right things. Like it was what to clean with in the shower. Like, Greg, you don't even clean the shower. Why do you care? But we had a major fight about a cleaning solution. Like, major. Like, if people would have seen us in the grocery store, they probably would have thought they're not going to make it. And it was so bad that
20 years this year will be a distant, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will preface that. We have been married for almost 20 years. But that was a fight that, like, Greg like left the house to go for a drive afterwards because he was so worked up.
We didn't go to the grocery store together for years.
Literally
after that.
Years, like maybe 10 years.
We can do it now though.
And Greg still doesn't clean showers. But anyways, that's again not the point of this message. But this is how life is. We all have things that were passed on to us, passed down to us. And some of the things that were passed down to us, they don't really matter, like cleaning solution. So it doesn't really take any intention. But then there are things that were passed down to us that are critical. And those things we must be very intentional about.
Yeah. Yeah, so what we're going to do today is we're going to start with our big so what. We always have a big so what. What's the point of this thing? If you forget everything else that we talk about, I want you to get a hold of this. It's this. Our faith is meant to be passed on.
Yeah.
Our faith is meant to be passed on. See, we all have a tendency to think that history starts with us. When you're young, you think history starts with you. It's all, nothing mattered before you. And unfortunately, we can take that thing into our faith. You know, every young generation, like this is just a reality, every younger generation thinks that their generation knows how to follow Jesus, right? And every other generation has got it wrong somewhere, right? Like we're the real followers of Jesus. And I remember, because I was like that. You know, when I was young, I would think like, oh man, all those older people, they got it wrong. They don't really know how to follow Jesus. I'm going to get this right. I'm going to correct all the things that they've done wrong in some way. And they do. You get it. Like young people just know you got to have a little humility here because we think we know better. And I caution you in that because the reality is 20 years from now, you're going to look back and realize you've messed some stuff up as well, right? You're going to correct some things that your older generation got wrong. And in the process, you're going to mess up some things that they got right. Okay. And so we all have to recognize that. And so we've got to humbly remember that someone passed faith on to us. Whether it was a parent, whether it was a grandparent, coworker, a friend, maybe it was a pastor, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. Even if what they passed on to you wasn't perfect. And for a lot of us, it wasn't. Like what got passed on to us, maybe there was things that we had to correct. That's fine. Nonetheless, it was passed on to you. And this is God's plan. Like his idea was that faith would be passed on. Look at what happened in Acts. Jesus says, what? You will be my witnesses. You'll be my witness. What does that mean? You're going to pass on what you've received. You're going to pass it on to somebody else. This faith doesn't just spontaneously erupt out of anywhere, right? You are going to take this faith and you are going to hand it on to somebody else. But more than it just being a generic passing on to random others, the Bible talks a lot about this whole idea of passing faith on to the next generation. Mm-hmm. How do we pass faith to the next generation? You know, the passage that we just read, it says this in verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. What are they saying? Pass it on. Like what you've received, pass it on. It's not stopping with you. Pass this thing on to the next generation. In fact, when you go throughout all the Old Testament, I love throughout the Old Testament, there'll be a really cool thing that happens in a story. There's this amazing story. God does this amazing thing. And you'll notice a pattern throughout the Old Testament is God will say, all right, grab a bunch of stones and make an altar there. Why? So that when your children see that altar, you will be able to tell them the story of what I've done. What? So you will be able to pass on the truth, pass on your faith to the next generation. This gets talked about over and over through scripture. We go on in the book of Psalms. There's a couple I want to read to you. Psalm 71 says this, even when I am old and gray, and I got more gray coming, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. It's this prayer that says, God, don't let me go until I'm able to get this thing to the next generation. It goes on. The other psalm says this, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. That's our job. Our job is to pass this thing on. But I heard this years ago, and this is true. Christianity is always one generation from extinction. One generation. If we don't pass this thing on, it's done. Now, I have a faith that God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So I'm not concerned about that, but it's a reality. Like that we got to be the ones actively passing faith on to the next generation because it ends with us if we don't. Now, this principle that we're talking about, it applies to all of us. You know, just think about it in your own life. If someone hadn't passed faith on to you, you would still be hopeless and doomed for eternal separation from God. If no one passed it on to you. And so I think for all of us, whether or not we're a parent in the room, every one of us can ask a question. Who has God put in our lives that we could pass faith on to? Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter whether it's a child, doesn't matter whether it's a coworker, someone at school, it's other family members. Who has God put in your life? And you know that you're the only believer in their life. God's put you there for a reason. How can we steward that opportunity to pass faith on, to share the hope that we have in Jesus? But today, we're gonna talk specifically and focus on passing on to the next generation. In this message, we're gonna focus on the parents in the room, okay? Just know that we're gonna focus on the parents. This applies to grandparents, and this absolutely applies to many people in the room that I look around, and I'd say you're like spiritual parents to people. You're the kind of people that are constantly looking to pour faith into others. This applies to you as well. And I wanna give one last warning before we dive in. Warning. This is not a guilting message, okay? Raise your hand if you're a parent and you've screwed something up at some point, okay? All of us, okay? Every parent screws something up. And so right now, I'm gonna say things, we're gonna talk about things, and again, we're not saying it because we've got it all right. We're saying it because we all need to hear this word. So I don't want you to hear this like, oh shoot, I've screwed up my children in the past. Maybe we have, but the calling is, okay, God, right now, what are you calling me to and how can I affect the future? Because that's all we can change, right? Can't change the past, but we can change the future, okay? We with that? All right, we're gonna dive in. We got three principles and then a couple of tips that we're gonna give you here, all right? What's principle one?
All right, principle number one. It's your job to pass on your faith. You know, there are a lot of things in life that I would love to outsource. I would love to outsource meal planning and grocery shopping and cleaning my house and folding the laundry. And actually, I would love to sometimes just ship my kids to my parents and let them raise the cranky teenagers. I was a handful as a teenager, so I always told my mom and dad, they'll be coming your way. And they're like, no, we've been there, we've done that. There are things you just can't outsource. And your kids are one of them. God gave you the job to parent your children. He gave you the job to be the spiritual leader of your house. It is your job to lead them to Jesus. And yes, it is scary. And yes, it's intimidating. And most times, I do not feel worthy enough because I'm a messy human. How am I supposed to lead my kids to Jesus when I'm a mess? But that's my job. I am the spiritual leader of my house and of my kids. Greg is the spiritual leader of our home, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Just want to clarify that.
But I think the starting point of this for all of us is the last two words there. It's your job to pass on your faith.
Yeah.
Like this morning is not it's just more things I have to do. No, the starting point is, where's my faith? Like every one of you, I'm not asking you, do you show up to church on Sunday morning? I'm asking, where is your faith at? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you serving Jesus? Are you looking to give your life to Jesus? That's the starting point. Because I'm not even worrying about you passing your faith on if you're not even in a place where your faith is genuine. Like all of us need to come to that. Have I come to you, Jesus? Do I recognize that I need you? Do I recognize that you're the most important thing? Have I given you my life? And if so, now I have something to give. This isn't about like, I have to pass my faith on. No. I simply have to live out the faith that I have in a genuine way in front of my children and present that faith. You know, I know some parents, and I'll talk to young parents, they'll be new to the church, you know, and they'll be like, yeah, I haven't been to church since I was a kid, but we have a kid now. And so we're like, we wanted our kid to be raised in a church as well. And that's really good. Like, I think it's really good. And that's that it brings families back. I think that's a good thing, that there's something calling you back. But guess what? Even if you bring your kid every single week, we get 1 to 2 hours at most with your kids. You got them all week long. So this faith cannot be, you know, only passed on for an hour on Sunday when the Sunday school teacher decides to try and share something with your child. No, it's got to be passed on by us. If it doesn't come from us, it's not going to be received by our kids very well. Now, I think I'm going to expose, like, I think there's a cultural issue when it comes to this. And parents, you're going to see this because I think a lot of you can experience this in our world. There's this idea that says, let your kids discover who they are. You know what I mean? Like the kids know best. Let the kids discover. They know what's best for them. Let them tell you, right? And I think for likes and dislikes, that's a great thing. For they're like, that's good. Let them tell you what you like. Let them tell you what they don't like, all those kind of things. But I think this mindset of let the kids decide has become exceedingly toxic in our world, okay? Because I think this is the mindset that's resulted in parents allowing two-year-olds to tell them what gender they are, okay? And it's become a very toxic thing in our culture, okay? And in the same way, there's some parents that say, well, I don't want to force faith on my kids. I want them to decide for themselves, okay? I'm just going to let them figure it out. And I'll say this, yes, your kids will have to decide, right? And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Your kids get to decide in some ways, okay? But if you believe in God's word, if you believe that this is the truth, if you believe that there are eternal ramifications that are on the line, then we better act like it, right? Parents, we got to act like this stuff matters. This better be the most important thing in our lives. Otherwise, we are not being genuine with ourselves. Let's not say, God, you are my all if we're not acting like that with our kids.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we got to shake ourselves up with this a little bit. And so we need to do more than just hope that our kids discover faith. We've got to pray like it matters. We say it all the time. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Guess what? The enemy wants to take faith from your kids. You better be praying over your kids on a daily basis. Praying, guard them from the enemy. Pray over their hearts. We've got to be intentional about the faith. We've got to get our kids into church around other believers who can encourage them in their faith. We've got to take those steps. It's our job. Are we passing on our faith?
Yeah. Principle number two, your children know what matters most. One of the fun and scary things about children are they watch your every move. My daughter is 10 and she watches literally my every move. She is my shadow. She's glued to my side right now. Not, you know, like every move I make, the way I look at myself in the mirror, the way I talk about myself, the food I eat, she is watching my every move. She thinks I'm cool until she doesn't think I'm cool. But she still wants to be like me. She watches me. Kids aren't dumb. They're actually way smarter than we give them credit for. And when it comes to faith, they may hear what you say, but they will believe what they see in your life. Your kids will know if your faith is actually really important to you.
Yeah, yeah. We like to talk as parents a lot. We like to say the right things.
Yeah.
You know, but your kids are watching. Like, they know what's real. So if you say to your kids that faith is important, but they never see you pull a Bible out ever,
yeah,
they're gonna question. Is this really important?
Yeah.
If you say that faith is important, but they never see you pray, they're going to question, is this really important? If you say that faith is the most important thing, but you only make it to church when it's convenient for your schedule, they're going to question, is it really important? There's a quote that I shared with you several months ago, and I want to put it back up again. It's this. Parents who treat church as optional shouldn't be surprised when their children treat Jesus as unnecessary. I'm going to say it again so we can get it in our bones. Parents who treat church as optional shouldn't be surprised when their children treat Jesus as unnecessary because they're watching you. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't seem important to you, you say it, but you don't live it, then they're going to question, I don't think this is actually that important.
Yeah.
Why would Jesus matter? It clearly doesn't matter to mom and dad, even though they say it. It doesn't matter that much. It doesn't affect their schedule. Everything else is a priority over it. Well, then why would it matter to me at all? We've got to recognize your children know what matters. Right now, I could go to your kids and your kids would tell me what's most important in your home. They just would. Know exactly what it is. And so this is a place where I want to lean into something that I know is a challenge. And we love this thing. And we value this thing. And it's still a challenge. And that's sports. Amber and I love sports. We absolutely love sports. We love to watch sports. We love to play sports. We love that our kids do sports, all those kind of things. But I'm gonna say that in our culture, in many homes, sports is the dominant thing. God is secondary to sports. It's what team are we on? What can I play? What event can I be a part of? That's the dominant thing. And so I wanna ask some of you the question, who sports is important in your home? And maybe some of you have young kids and this is a thing for you to wrestle while they're young and figure out where they're young is your kids are watching. Would they say that sports are more important than Jesus in your home? Mm-hmm. What would they say? Because they know. They say, oh, I would never miss a practice. I would never miss an event. I would never miss those things, but I miss church all the time. That's really, like, we only go to church when all the stars align perfectly. You know, everything's got to work. It can't be too nice, because if it's too nice, I'm going to go hang out. It can't be too bad, because it's too bad, I don't want to have to drive in it, right? Right? If I got enough sleep, I didn't get up. Like, all the circumstances have to be perfect, then we'll go to church, okay? Your kids are watching that, and they know that. And so what are we presenting to our children? What are we valuing? What are our kids seeing? Because I've said this before, but 100 years from now, the only thing that matters in your child's life is their relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Does not matter what team they made. Does not matter what college they got into. Does not matter what job they had. None of those things matter. What only matters is their relationship with Jesus. And are we living with that kind of a mindset? Are we making decisions with that in mind? Mm-hmm. Are we focusing on the things that matter most? Your children know what matters most. We have to be the ones that make the decision in our home to say, no, we are going to follow Jesus. We're going to prioritize spiritual things because that's more important.
That's a hard one. All right.
It is a hard one.
Principle number three, results aren't guaranteed. unfortunately, sorry. But I love this. If you know me, I love shows and movies that are predictable, because why do I need more stress in my life?
Amen.
If a Hallmark movie is fun, you love Hallmark movies?
No, I don't.
You said amen to that.
I like not stress.
Okay. Like, he was thinking of the shows we watch, not the Hallmark movies. But anyways, I love reruns because they're predictable, because there is nothing in life that is predictable.
We literally, if we were watching a show, within the first 30 seconds, if we sense there's going to be any tension in this, turn it off. Like, we don't need stress in our lives.
I need predictable, lighthearted, loving things. And there is nothing predictable about raising your children.
Nope.
Because every kid is so different. Even when you think you got it figured out with one, it's a whole nother thing when the other one gets to be that age.
Yeah. There's nothing predictable. And so there's a verse that I want to bring us to, because I want to help you with some of this. How many ever heard of this verse before? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How many have ever heard that verse before? I'm going to tell you that I've had parents who have done everything they can to raise their kids for Jesus. They've done everything that they could. Come to me in tears and said, but Jesus said that they would follow him, and they've turned away from faith. And my heart breaks for people because there's a misunderstanding of this text, okay? This comes from Proverbs. You need to understand the book of Proverbs is a book full of principles of how things generally work, not a book full of promises, okay? So when you read the book of Proverbs, do not read it as a book full of promises. If I do this, I'll always get that. That's not what the book of Proverbs is. The book of Proverbs says, if you do this, generally this is what will take place. And so this is an encouragement that says, hey, train up your children the right way, right? You know, because when they get older, they're most likely that they're going to have a better chance of going the right direction. But that ain't a promise. Because some of you right now in tears would come to me and say, yeah, I did all that stuff and that kid is not following Jesus right now. And my heart breaks with you, okay? But just know this. This is something God's called us to do, but at the end of the day, results aren't guaranteed.
Yeah, and I am a picture of that, actually. You know, my dad was a pastor for 28 years, and I grew up in a Christian family. I knew Jesus from a really young age. I went to church every Sunday. I knew all the Bible verses. I knew all the things. But my faith was never really my own. I chose to do things my way. I had a choice. And I really turned my back on Jesus for a long, long time. And honestly, it got to a place through a lot of hurt, a lot of bad decisions, that I didn't even really know if I believed in him. And it wasn't because I wasn't taught. It wasn't because I didn't see. Man, you guys, every single morning, I knew where my mom would be. She would be reading her Bible, praying, seeking the Lord. That is a picture I have since I was so young of her. And even to this day, when life is hard, when things are a disaster, my mom and dad run to Jesus. Yeah. The foundation was laid for me, and I chose to ignore it. The decisions I made, I said, forget it. I know what you taught me. I'm going to do my own thing. But when I came back and I met with Jesus, a broken disaster of a teenager, that foundation had been set for me my whole life.
Yeah.
My mom and dad never stopped praying for me.
Yeah.
They never stopped believing that God was going to use me in big ways. I didn't start from the beginning when I came back to Jesus.
Yeah.
Because the foundation had been set. It's our job as parents to be intentional. I hope and pray that my kids don't make the same bad decisions that I made, but I actually have no control over that. I get to set the foundation. I get to have the open conversations. I get to be a mom that runs to Jesus when things are hard, and my kids get to see that. Some of you today, you're sitting in this room and you are a parent of a child who is not following Jesus. And maybe that child is sitting right next to you and that feels awkward. But I'm gonna say this, don't give up, parent.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
My mom and dad could have said, well, Amber, good luck out there. But that's not what they did. They prayed for me. Like, I probably can't even understand how much they prayed for me. They didn't give up. They led by example. Even in times when I know it was hard, I saw my mom and my dad running to Jesus. And as a 41-year-old woman, when times are hard and I look at them and say, man, but they're running to Jesus, I can too. They're still setting that example for me and for my children.
Yeah.
And so don't give up, parents.
Yeah.
If your kid isn't following Jesus, don't give up.
Yeah.
You pray that a miracle can happen. You believe that impossible can happen because they can be restored.
Yeah.
They can be redeemed. Yeah. I am an example of that.
Yeah. So good. Well, as we close our time today, I just want to give you some, we're going to give you some tips and I give you some resources, okay? And I'm going to kind of use these couple tips here just as a challenge, honestly, for us. Okay, the first one is this. Just put faith in its proper place. You know what that means in your home. It means prioritize the things that matter most. And the starting point for that, parents, it's not some big crazy idea. It's just like, put faith in its proper place in your life. Say, if I'm gonna say I'm gonna be the leader of my home, if I'm the parent and I'm supposed to lead my kids, well, the starting point is just, I've gotta lead myself.
Yeah.
Say, God, I'm gonna put you first in my life. What I want for my kids is that when, you know, someday when I'm no longer here and they think about me, they say, you know what? Dad was stupid sometimes. He was weird. He was a dork sometimes. He made dumb jokes. He was just all those things. But he loved Jesus. He followed Jesus. Like, he actually believed the stuff that he said. Like, that's all I want. Can they see, like, that's the starting point. Put faith in its proper place in your life. Just live it out in front of your kids. Let them know that it matters in your life. And then in your home, what does that look like? It may mean that you may need to make some changes to priorities in your home. What's getting the attention in your home? And I want to talk to the dads for a moment in the room, okay? Men, look at me for a second. Men, this world needs a bunch of men who, like Joshua, say, decide today who you're going to serve.
Yeah.
But I don't know about what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. We need men like that. And guess what? You don't feel worthy of leading your home spiritually. I talk about it all the time. You might feel like, oh, I'm not spiritual enough to be the leader. Guess what? Do it, okay? Lead your home. Get your family in church as often as you can to be around other believers because we want to help you. Like, we don't want you to be on your own. We want to help you. We've got men's groups around here that challenge one another, help each other in their faith. Get into a group of other men to challenge one another. Take that step. You know, pray with your family. And I know sometimes you're going to be like, oh, I feel insecure. Great. Do it anyway. And then women in the room, when your husband, who is insecure and awkward, tries to step up and lead in your home, don't make fun of them. Okay. Don't make jokes about it. Don't make them feel more uncomfortable. Encourage them. Say, that's awesome. I love it when you do that. Affirm them in that because it's hard for them to do those things. Okay. But that's what I'm challenging you men. Like, if we as men could get a hold of this, our church would be transformed. If every one of us got a hold, we're leading our home well. It would change things. All right? That's the first one. Put faith in its proper place. The second one is this. Just bring faith into your everyday life. I think sometimes we're like, we got to have these sacred moments. How many of you have ever tried to do family devotions? Raise your hand, okay? Okay, maybe your family's better at us. Ours was always weird, it's awkward, it was hard sometimes, it just doesn't always work, okay? What we found is like, how do we bring faith in just to the normal parts of our lives? Which is actually what the text we read today was all about. If you look at the passage, what does it say? Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. To me, that's four moments in the day. What do we have? When you sit down around dinner, Amber's amazing. She gets dinner together every single night, okay? And we don't have these big fancy meals all the time, but guess what? We're able to be together, be in proximity together. Does that mean we're having deep spiritual conversations every night? No, we're just with one another, okay? But proximity gives opportunity for us to speak into things and to bring faith into every conversation that's going on in our lives. Second opportunity is when you're walking down the road. For me, that's car time, okay? As a guy with teenagers, car time is one of the most important times because people just start talking. If you will force, don't just jack the music on, start talking and your kids will open up. And there's a phrase that I heard years ago and I use this one. It's called mind for moments. How many ever heard this? Mind for moments. You got to be looking as a parent for moments to speak into your kids' lives, okay? Because if you're trying to cram it all the time, they're not going to listen to you. But there are those moments. I remember a couple, like last year, we're driving down Highway 5 over here, and we're chatting about something, and out of nowhere, Asher asked like the deepest theological question. And I was tired. It was late at night, and I could have just been like, oh, I don't want to deal with that right now, but I'm like, this is a moment. And we had for the next 15 minutes a really deep conversation about something theological. Because it was like, oh, here's a moment. And as a parent, we have to just mine for the moments. Where are the, like, they're wanting, ready to talk. All right, let's dive in. Let's have that conversation right now. Let's bring faith into that moment. The other two opportunities are when you go to bed and when you get up. What are your rhythms? Just pray over your kid before bed. Like, be intentional about that. What do you do in the morning? How do you set the habits in the morning? Pray over your kids in the morning. Just create some of those subtle rhythms. How do you bring faith into just every day? Don't try to make it weird. Don't try to make it over the top. Your kids are just gonna be like, you're awkward, Dad. Don't do that. But just try and bring faith in a normal way into their everyday life, okay? And the last little tip I wanna give is this, is that there is the 10-year delay rule. I heard this years ago. If you want your kids to talk to you when they're 15, start talking to them when they're 5. Okay, start normalizing conversation and not just talking to them or at them, but talking with them. Like, so if you got young kids here, this is a good one for you. Start asking the questions of your kids. Start to hear their heart when they're younger because they'll get used to doing that. Then when they get older, they're still willing to do that with you, okay? And if you haven't done that with your kids, now's the time. You might have to start now and it might be 10 years before you get any response out of it, okay? But begin to invest in those conversations because it gives you an opportunity to speak into your kids' life and to bring faith into your kids' life, okay? And so as we close here this morning, I want to just, there's a phrase from the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and says this, begin with the end in mind. So as a parent, I just ask the question, when your kids leave your house at 18, maybe, what do you want? Like, what do you hope? When it comes to faith, what do you hope for your kids when they're 18 and leaving your house? Think about that now. And then what do you need to do now to help lead to that direction? Is the path you're on right now gonna lead to your kids passionately following Jesus at 18 years of age? If it's not, if there's some things that you could change that would help direct that, then maybe you need to make those changes today. I think the same thing for us. What are the changes? Always, what are the changes we need to make so that the most important thing is actually treated like the most important thing in my life? All right? And so as we close, I wanna just give us an opportunity to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. I want us to pray. I'm gonna pray over us and then I'm gonna give us about 30 seconds. I do that sometimes. And here's what I want you to ask is, what is a step that I could take to be more intentional in passing on faith in my home? What's one step? Maybe it's, for you, it's like, I actually need to get my personal faith in order. Like, I'm not living like this matters. Christianity is just a sideshow for me. It's not the center of my, maybe I need to do that. For some of you, maybe you need to change some priorities in your home. For others of you, maybe you need to just start bringing faith into the everyday things, just intentionally trying to bring faith in. I don't know what that is, but I'm gonna allow the Holy Spirit to speak over our hearts. And so let me just pray for a moment. God, I pray right now in the next few moments, would you just speak to us about what's out of order in our life, God, how we could better steward our children, because ultimately that's what we wanna do. We wanna steward them for your glory. Father, I pray right now in every home, over the next few moments, God, would you speak one step that we could take to be more intentional in our homes, to pass faith on, to make what's most important in our home. God, speak to our hearts. Just take 30 seconds and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your hearts. Holy Spirit, would you give us the power and the strength to do what you've spoken to our hearts right now, Lord? God, I pray that we would be intentional, Lord, recognizing that 100 years from now, nothing else matters but leading our kids to you. God, would it start with us just simply following you, Jesus? As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. God, I pray we could say to our kids, just follow us. If you want to know what it means to follow Jesus, just watch me and follow me. And God, I pray that in this church, Father, we would see generations following you, generation after generation, that we would pass faith on well. And God, I pray that we would see kids and teens and young people passionately serving you. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to share one last story before we close here. We shared something like this back a few months ago. I didn't ask them permission, but there's a couple on our staff. And they decide, you know what? We read our Bibles, but we don't do it in front of our kids. We're going to do it out in the open more. And so they're doing their devotions, reading their Bible so their kids could see them. And within a matter of a couple days, suddenly they noticed their 7-year-old would go grab his Bible, not without saying anything, just grab his Bible and come sit by them and read the Bible alongside. It doesn't take these big steps, like I've got to be so spiritual. It's just simply live our faith out in front of our kids, and it'll have an impact, all right? We want to do something to help you parents, and so there's a new tool that we're making available to all the parents. Before we walk out the door, I want you to know about this, okay? On the app that we have, you know we have our Church Center app, okay, the Church Center app. We've added one, and there's a second one coming on this week. On the Church Center app, if you have never downloaded, I encourage you to download the Church Center app and choose Zoe as your home church. But on this app, there is now a Z Kids Parent Resources tab on the homepage. When you click that, every week they're going to be putting the discussion questions for based on the message that the kids talk in Z Kids every week. In addition, there's going to be calendars of what's taking place, events that are taking place, and there's a bunch of resources at the very bottom. There's books that are recommendations and some podcasts and those kind of things to be able to help you as a parent. But we wanted this to be a tool to help the parents on an everyday basis. Youth, this one's coming for the youth this week. We didn't quite get it finished by today, but we're doing the same thing for the youth. So there's going to be a tab on the app every single week. It'll let you know what's being talked about on Wednesday night so you can come around and ask follow-up questions, as well as all the resources to be able to help you as a parent. Because we as a church, we're not the spiritual leaders of your kids, but we want to help empower you and give you the tools to be able to do that in a better way, all right? Would you stand with me across the room? God, I pray over us as we walk out the door. Help us to live this thing out, God. May it not just be something we heard, but help us to do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen.